You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
Você está escutando ao Feet to the Fire.
Du lytter til Feet to the Fire.
You are listening to Feet to the Fire.
With Black Knight.
All right, we are back, and we are live with Lionel Parkinson. He is a document examiner and author of the book Holy Virus. Holyvirus.net is the website for the book. There's many things to read and listen to on the site, as well as purchasing the book. There's an e-book part of it, I think, a version of it, and a hard copy and so forth. And I want to welcome back Lionel to the show. Welcome, Lionel.
Thank you very much, James.
And what we're doing here, kind of, is that you are going bit by bit and telling us things that you're finding, expanding upon this idea that the Babylonians had interjected things into the Jewish writings, as well as the Romans interjecting into the Christian writings.
That's correct, yes. The Babylonians, at the time that they conquered the southern Judah kingdom, in 586 B.C., they completely conquered everything. They changed the borders, language, and culture of Judaism. They literally killed off probably 99% of the population, left maybe 10 to 20,000 to go into captivity. And then after about 60, 70 years, they were released by King Cyrus of Persia, who conquered Babylon, and about 42,300 were recorded as going back to Jerusalem and having a temple being built for them. Unfortunately, after about 60, 70 years, that temple was not a temple that was well known to be under Judaism. It was still under control of Babylonian scribes and priests that had infiltrated the whole culture of Judaism. So when Babylonian culture completely took over through borders, language, and culture, it literally brought Babylonian temple rites and rituals, everything. So in 539 BC, when the great decree came from King Cyrus of Persia to release all those in Babylon to go back into Jerusalem and rebuild the temple, it was according to Babylonian specifications, not according to Judaism. Now, as far as how that plays out in today's modern commercial law, like I was trying to get to last month, it is very important to remember that our laws today go back to the ancient Babylonian codes. The human slave code system that they had installed started primarily under the contract system, where they would swear an oath under their principal god. This was carried right into the Roman practice, and later on into England and into the United States of today, via through the U.S. Constitution, through the Article 3, Section 2, Verse 1, where they can amend and inject the swearing of oaths. In fact, when people go down and vote for their next president in the United States, he cannot officially become a president until he swears an oath. Now, the swearing of oaths is the most important thing a person can do in order to enter into this fictitious entity called the state or the United States or any nation. And this is the one thing that Jesus was very concerned about. And in Matthew chapter 5, verse 34, he says this: "But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven or earth or Jerusalem, nor by anything of your head, unless you fall into evil." And James, in another part of the Bible, chapter 5, verse 12, he says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor earth, neither by any other oath, lest you fall into condemnation." So I decided as an examiner to check to see how our present day definitions of these words of swearing of oath or condemnation, if they really apply under the contracts that we are signing today. And strangely enough, there is a connection. Under the word damned or condemnation, under Black's Law Dictionary, it means to swear an oath or consigned to hell. And the word hell, under Black's Law Dictionary, is this: the name formerly given to a place under the Exchequer Chamber, also known as the Treasury Department, where the king's debtors were confined. So to swear an oath is not so much to, it's not an issue of whether you're going to tell the truth or not. It's an issue of which venue are you going to tell the truth in. Are you going to swear an oath in violation of a commandment of Jesus and enter into this other venue, which leads into condemnation? Or are you going to stay on the other side where you're safe? Now, strangely enough, our system has these definitions built right into the law dictionaries, but yet it's completely ignored by Christian churches and Catholicism to this day. But when I find that there is a connection, as an examiner, I have to bring it out and just let people make up their own minds about it. And as for me, it's very clear that by swearing an oath, you're essentially entering into a fictitious venue where man can abscond you of your life, liberty, and property under God that you would normally have if you did not swear an oath. Now, why we accepted this throughout the hundreds and thousands of years is beyond me, but anyone that believes in the existence of a state or a nation today is essentially, when they swear an oath, are falling under the occult system. That's the only conclusion that I can come up with based on the rules of this game. And, you know, all I can do is report the facts as they are built into the law dictionaries and in the Bible. So the game is played on this level. It is being ignored by the churches, and for what reason, I do not know.
Yeah, because I think from my reading of it, the point Jesus is making is just tell the truth. Don't use these oaths, because there is bad condemnation that say you told the truth, but say unforeseen circumstances come up and you can't do what you said. Well, now you're bound by whatever this oath is. You know, and if they happen to rope you into some kind of a bad contract, now you're bound by this oath again.
Yeah, the whole purpose of the oath is to get you to violate a particular law that Christ laid down. To me, a person, I remember when I testified in a court, I wanted to test this whole theory on swearing of oaths, because before they can get my testimony injected into a case, they had to, of course, had to swear me in. Well, one time I refused to do that. I wanted to test the court and see what would happen if I just refused. So when it came time for them to ask me to raise my right hand and swear the truth, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, I decided to, you know, they actually brought out a Bible, and I said, "Are you asking me to do something in violation of the commandments of Jesus?" Well, this stopped the whole court. They were not expecting me, because they could not go any further. They needed to get my testimony in order to solve the case. So what they did is the judge says, "Well, we can bypass this. You don't have to swear an oath at all. We need to go forward." So they just ignored.
Oh, wow. I would have thought that they would have showed you the door, you know?
Not necessarily, because they needed a case, and they will bend the rules. And since I'm not the one in trouble in the case, and they needed to get this thing done and resolved and and move on, they just simply would take the testimony based on the court documents and after they qualified me for the case. But my whole point is we don't have to go along with the system. There are loopholes even for the criminal, and this is one thing that I've always recognized, that this whole contract system is based on perception. The state acts on the perception of those that wish to believe in it. It's just as simple as this. I know that the state does not exist. You can name all 50 states, and I can tell you they don't exist. They never did exist, they don't exist now, and they will never exist in the future, because they're all based on a fiction. If people wish to believe in them, then the judge becomes a very real judge, and the attorney becomes a very real attorney, and they can move forward. But when someone denies the existence of the state, now they no longer fall under any constitution, and their just powers are lost. And that's why in the Constitution it says, governments are instituted among men deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. The key word is consent.
Well, I agree with you, but on the other hand, I know a guy in particular who's been on the show who's an inventor who was being brought up on charges that he was insane, you know, by people who wanted to get his invention in Utah. And he took that same approach, that Utah had no authority to deal with him, and they simply took him, and he's been there, he's been in a mental place for now for 2 years. I mean, I understand on paper it may be true, but in actuality, they still take you away if they want.
If he had gone through an arraignment prior to that, that is usually where they get the consent initially.
Yeah, well, the way things work over there, though, I mean, he had where they appoint the lawyer, and they didn't want it. It's from what I understand, that at least this area, the courts are very corrupt over there. So I mean,
and if he has a lawyer, then it doesn't matter what you say. The lawyer takes a sworn oath to be the power of the attorney over the voice of the so-called.
Oh, defendant. And it's true. One of the problems he had was that very problem.
If he had an attorney, then he consented over his power to speak, and that is, you pretty much have to stand up and grow a spine and do this all on your own if you're going to avoid entering into their venue and under their jurisdictional powers. And this is a very complicated issue to talk about, because we're talking about two separate sections. One is jurisdiction, which is the legal jurisdiction based on contracts. The other one is based on venue, based on your perception of existence. So
I tell you, you really clicked one of me. I'm just trying to think now of somebody going to court and refusing to swear based on the religious freedoms. I mean, that would be a big quandary, I think.
Well, you already have all, you know, I've always maintained that the New Testament was tampered with by the Romans. They gutted and omitted some of the most key essential information that Jesus wanted to convey to everyone. And that's why I always like the Gospel of the Holy 12, because it does contain people's true identity, their life, their liberty and property under God. The problem is you're dealing with a very violent system out here that will use a contract system or pretend to use a contract system. And some, I admit, some courts will abide by that system and others may not. There's not much regulation involved anymore, any more than there's regulation under the derivatives markets that's collapsing the world systems right now. So everything is kind of going out of whack. But my whole point of making this statement about how Babylon has affected our culture, or this culture called the United States and England and worldwide, whenever I talk to attorneys, I ask them, the first question I ask them is, what's the origin and nature from which your laws derive? And they have the hardest time trying to answer that question, because it is never answered for them when they try and learn, you know, to pass the bar. Doesn't matter what country I'm in, they don't know. They'll just guess. but it actually comes right out of Babylon. This whole equity jurisprudence is pretty much nothing more than the love of money. As long as they control commerce, they can control people. And that's how the game is played.
Right, and that's we're seeing. See, people are saying that the markets are collapsing now. I mean, I can see why that looks like that. My inner take on it is that this is all going according to plans. If you look at what's happening, is the government, the actual governments, or the better put, the banking institutions, the Federal Reserve in particular, is beginning to own our property.
Yeah, they are creating the problem. They've allowed the banks to literally gamble people's savings accounts at a 200-to-1 ratio. That means for every dollar they have in reserve, they've gambled 200 of it away, adding up to what I believe to be right around $180 trillion market. And they don't know how to cover the debts, but all of this could easily be declared illegal. And since all debt is a fiction anyway, they could easily erase all of it and just forget about it.
Well,
but
people,
they won't.
We got to go here. But people can go to your website, holyvirus.net. There's all kinds of things to read and hear there. You can download the Gospel of the 12 free from the website. It's also included in the book. And we appreciate the time that you're spending. Look for you next time.
All right.
All righty. We'll be back with Sterling Allen this week in Free Energy right after this.